o'clock. Let's call to order the regular meeting of the Gage County Board of Supervisors, Wednesday, August 6th, 2014. Please join me in standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall behind the media. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Setzer. Byers will be absent all day. Next is the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes from the meeting held on July 23rd, 2014, approve all claims through August 6th, 2014 in the amount of $453,300.66. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee forecast report for the month of July 2014. That's the items 1 through 5. I need a motion to approve or disapprove or consider one separately.
Move to approve.
Consent agenda move to approve by Setzer.
Second.
By Dorn. Vote. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Matt.
Yell at me, Terry.
Could
you did some work for the county? You got to pull something off?
Yes.
All right.
Claim number 14080087 in the amount of $829.19 to Johnny's Welding. I'd like to have pulled off, ordered separately, please.
Okay, we'll pull that one off. Okay, with you. All right. So we'll vote on everything else with the claims and the consent agenda minus that claim. We'll consider that separate. So we're not voting on that right now, Terry. Further discussion. Now vote. 6-0 to approve. Now we'll consider the claim number. Can you say that again, Terry?
14080087 in the amount of $829.19.
Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Second.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Hill. Any further discussion? Vote. 5 in favor. Jurgens abstains. Next on the regular agenda will be comments from the public, requests for future agenda items. We do have a public hearing coming up at 9:15, and there's a clipboard to speak for and against sitting next to the sheriff. And don't be afraid of him just because he has a pistol. He's pretty nice. So the clipboard's there if you want to speak at the public hearing. Next we'll jump right into committee reports. Building and grounds, baby.
Good morning. I'd just like to mention one thing real quick. On this coming Monday, August 11th, they will start doing repair work on a copper on a tower that was damaged with the windstorm we had earlier. And so there will be a crane on the south side. So we're planning on Monday, August 11th, the south entrance will be closed, and possibly Tuesday also. And then on Wednesday, the crane will be on the east side, and there's one stone on the very top that needs to be looked at and secured better. And that will be on Wednesday. While the crane is here, it will be used by Weathercraft Masonry Construction. I talked to J.T. Thornburg with the holiday lights, and we're going to check out the building while the crane's here at Winter Lights expense. And then we have a couple downspout issues that we're going to use the crane for also. So hopefully it should be just Monday through Wednesday, I think, is where we're going to have some doors closed.
Did we get an insurance claim on that with the wind?
We did.
Okay.
Yes.
Anything else for Davey?
Danny's not here, but Dave was here at our committee meetings and thought it was a good idea that Dave, we get this word out that the courthouse is not going to be closed, but there will be either the south or the east door will be closed part of the time or all the time on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or whatever. So we just want everything, let the word out and make people aware of it.
Yes.
So thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Equalization. I don't think we have anything on that unless someone wants to rehash what we've done over the last 3 weeks. No. Finance and insurance.
Yes. We're going to talk about the budget later. There's a line, an item on the agenda for that. But we have had some other meetings. I guess a little bit, our EMS agreements. I've been able to contact everybody so far but Claytonia and Beatrice, and hopefully today I'll go down and visit with Brian just to visit Dakey, a visit about those agreements. And I had that Matt and John, I think, are going to visit with Wymore.
We did.
You did, good. A couple things there. We're going to add on that one paragraph. We're going to add that the annual reviews. We did only receive a small number out of the seven. I think we received one or two. So we're going to add a line in that annual review that they still need to have that into us by April 22nd. That's what I've been visiting about. But if it's not in by June 15th, and that in June is when they make their claim for their fourth payment, if it's not in by then, that the county will reserve the right to permanently withhold their fourth quarter payment. So just been visiting with people about that so that hopefully this next year we'll get more of the reports. We have been getting, when they file for their claim, we've been getting it's Agenda B or whatever, the paper from their doctor or whatever, their medical director. But, and then another one, just to bring this up, and we can visit to see what you want to do about it. Heckrow, Roger Dutzman visited with me, and they lost one of their main leaders there, Ron Hausman, and they're going through a process of trying to figure out how they're going to, get the work done and stuff. And he brought it up and visited with him about the squads that get $6,000. Odell, Pickrell, and Cortland get $6,000. Do they need to do this quarterly, or could they do it semi-annually or annually? In other words, because of the amount of time it takes for them to go get the doctor's signature and visit with the doctor and stuff. And I says, I'd bring that up and visit with you. Also did visit with the contact person up at Cortland, Maryland, DeFreeze, and she looks at it from the aspect that she thinks it's a good thing, because then in their meetings, they're talking about the fact that they're doing these things. When I visited with her, though, I said, well, if we get a report from everybody, then we know that people are talking about it too, but we, you know, we're not. And she challenged us that somebody from the board should show up at least one meeting a year of each of the squads. And I said, oh.
Let us know when they are.
Let us know when they are, you know. And, I mean, if we each did in our area, if somebody went to one of their meetings, I go, well, that's a good point, too. But back to the Wymore, Beatrice, Adams, Claytonia, leave all of them at quarterly filings for claims and quarterly it's item B or agenda B or whatever with their doctor thing. Just throwing out, I guess, more for discussion. We can change it next year. I don't know. I'll give you guys give feedback. The other three, leave it the way it is, or maybe change it to annual or semi-annual. I mean, that's just a thought. And like I said, we do have a squad, Pickrell, that this year it affects them more than any other time, and just because of the unfortunate thing of a passing of one of their main members, you know, and stuff. So, and they brought it up more for a discussion, and because I asked them if they had any ideas or thoughts on it.
I guess my question would be, what's the frequency at which they're meeting with their medical director? I don't know. I mean, if they're only meeting with them,
we didn't
twice a year.
We didn't get into that. Well, no, they need to meet with their medical director every time to get their signature and stuff.
Yeah, that
or when they turn their claim in. So that's four times a year.
Right. What's their normal time that they're meeting with them? I guess that would be...
That I don't know.
Because I would think you would just do that when you met with them.
I don't know how each of the squads are handling that. That I don't know.
I would say leave it right now. I don't know. I mean, that's the first time I've heard that was a burden.
Well...
And I understand the circumstances.
Roger has been doing that, and for him, he has to run to Lincoln...
They can't coordinate it when their medical director's
I
guess
know.
That's
just what they were doing.
For him, yeah.
You know, and I mean, he wasn't complaining. He just threw out that thought, you know, and stuff. So, and I says I'd bring it up and we'd sure visit about it. I guess I can understand why, but I also understand what Marilyn made a good point was. Then they, as a squad, are reviewing that more often. They're reviewing their, calls and.
Can I see that again, Marilyn? I don't know if there's anything that precludes them from giving those forms to their medical director, and the medical director faxing those. I think a lot of them come faxed.
That's what I was wondering.
Does it have to be
some of them come faxed.
Some of them come faxed.
They're not originals.
Yeah.
I don't know what they could give them to. I think Dr. Kruger is their medical director, right?
Yes, Dr. Kruger is.
Yeah, they're just attesting to... Yeah, you know, if
I'll give you my thought. I think this year let's leave it. That's something next year. Hopefully you'll get on this. I will get on this a little sooner, and we'll get these out a little quicker, and then that's something to visit with some of the other squads about again.
So they're contending they just want biannual disbursements versus quarterly disbursements? So I wouldn't do quarterly disbursements with the biannual review. I think the review coincides with the disbursement.
No, right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. No, Roger didn't bring that up. He says, do we need to be doing it every quarter? And I said, I would bring it up and visit with you if maybe we could change that to biannual or annual. I don't know. And nobody else has discussed it at all. I mean, nobody, except I brought it up with Marilyn, and then she said it's good for their squad because then they do review things, and I think that's important too. So.
Otherwise, you only look at your squad once a year when you have to admit.
Well, this Agenda B or whatever, this doctor's thing, though, that's different than the annual review, what we're expecting from them. The annual review should go into details on how many calls they had, you know, and the response time and things like that. Last year we got one from Adams. Brian Dakey, I believe he was here at a meeting. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. Brian Dakey did come to a meeting. Those were the only two we had. So, and that's why we want to put in there the line that if we don't get that, the county board will reserve the right to permanently withhold the June payment. So, visiting with people so they understand it, so that I don't want them coming back in next August and saying, because when you and I and Matt met down there last year with them, I think I remember talking about the fact that that review was in there. I've had two of them already tell me that, no, we didn't talk about it at that meeting. So you get this different thing. So.
We talk about it every year. We highlight it.
I know it. Well, if we put it in the contract and it says in there that if that review is not here, the board reserves the right to permanently withhold, then they can't say they didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. So unless somebody has something with that, we're going to add that in there, and then hopefully in the next week, as soon as we make sure we have everybody contacted, we'll mail them out and try and get them back. We'll change the dates on them, update it another year, and otherwise, I don't see anything else in there. We'll leave the quarterly payments the same on all of them. The doctor report. Any more questions on that? Or we did meet. John was here. Don was here. We met with. It's called the Verizon Fleet, Network Fleet, and I think hopefully most of you have some cost here in some of the things, what they do. They will be here on the 20th, I believe.
If you choose to
have them.
Yeah.
If we choose to have them.
To go forward or whatever you want to do.
The one page here is the cost. What this does, they have a module.
You have them there. I didn't know whether you were going to pass them out or.
Oh,
you
wanted to. There you go. Well, these are all the same. Okay. Ow, I got to hold them.
You do right now.
Pass them out.
Chair?
Yes. I thought they were just one pile of stuff. Okay. Verizon, they call it Network Fleet. What that does, and I think you've got. Started hearing more conversation, visited with a lady from Cass County who was on the board up there. They're doing this now, and they're really they're visiting with three or four other counties in this area, too, about doing this. It's a module they hook into the vehicle. You can get GPS on that, and or you can get diagnostic on that. The module and the cord or the cable is $250 a unit. Don sent up to the individual that came down, sent them a listing of all of our vehicles, and we have 80 vehicles, but if I look on there, I roughly, and he gave a price for all the vehicles, but if I look on there, there's 20 of them that are trailers. So we have 60 vehicles. These are round numbers. We have 60 vehicles. It's $250 for the module and the cable. If you did all 60 vehicles, that's an initial cost of $15,000. Then you have a monthly fee of, if you choose the GPS and the diagnostic, you have a monthly fee of $18.95 per vehicle. If you choose just the diagnostic, I think it's just the diagnostic. I don't remember, I think so. It's a dollar less per vehicle per month. So you would, that would be an ongoing cost. You'd have to sign a minimum of a 12-month contract with them. You can set this up so that you can have whoever you choose get reports off of this. For instance, Gus could get just the sheriff's vehicles. He could get a daily report, or you could get weekly reports, however you set it up. It would be for the diagnostic and for travel, or it reports everything. It reports whether they got their seatbelt on, their speeding, everything. You could have just Galen get the reports for just the highway department. You could set it up. Cass County set it up so that they have four people in the county that can go in at any time and look at any of it. And she didn't say who all they were, except she said that she was one because she was chairman of the certain committee or whatever. So you can set this up to get reports, I guess, kind of how you want them. And as you can put those so that you can get them, you can get the type of reports you want. You can set them up to get them once a week. You can get them, you can get certain ones daily or once a week or however. They come back and say that they expect so much savings on fuel and so much savings on repairs because the diagnostic reports will show up quicker. You know, if some deputy's out there driving the car and this light on the dash comes up for 2 weeks and he doesn't tell anybody about it, Gus don't know about it and nobody else does, and then if you have trouble, this report would show, it would show to Gus on whenever you decided to have that report for Gus, it would show up that that car is having that issue or whatever. So they, I don't know, John, you help, I mean, or explain too, they say a fuel savings of maybe up to 15%, diagnostic savings is, again, 10 to 15%. It just kind of depends. So
this is kind of how he told me yesterday when you got that, broke that down. Or
and I guess my thought is it certainly doesn't hurt to talk to him and follow up on it more.
GPS
and maybe some other counties and private companies that are using this system and see if there is potential for it as far as
cost savings,
and, you know, value to it.
I'm going to interrupt your report right now. We've got a timed event at 9 o'clock. We're running a little bit over here. So this is where we take time every month. We honor our veterans that live in our community. And I'd like to call forward Phil Dittman, our Veterans Service Officer, and do our presentation today, please.
Good morning. This morning I'd like to introduce our nominee, and that is Donald Bruce Noakes II, or as most know him as D. D was inducted into the United States Army in March 18th of 1969 and served until October 27th, 1970. He served with Company B, 3rd Battalion, 1st Infantry, 11th Infantry Brigade in Vietnam. He was awarded the National Defense Service Medal, Vietnam Campaign Medal, Vietnam Service Medal, Army Commendation Medal, Good Conduct Medal, 2 Purple Hearts, and Combat Infantry Badge. This time it's my pleasure to introduce D. Noakes. D.
I know I hate this. Well, thank you.
If you got anything you want to say, go ahead and let
thank
know
you,
about.
Phil. I don't know that I deserve this, but I'm glad to get it. In any case, it was just a nice award.
Well, thank you very much for your service.
Oh. much. I didn't do it very well.
You did absolutely fine, sir. Absolutely fine. All right. Terry, go ahead. Mike, go ahead.
I'll make one other comment. Visiting with a lady from Cass County, she said the first they had some, not feedback, but some pushback because the employees thought that this was just to keep an eye on them. She said they found out that it turned out to be different than that. One of the first things they had was said they had a call of a county vehicle that was doing such and such a thing. She said they were able to go in here and they looked it up and that vehicle wasn't even there and stuff. So that it, she said, It the first thing they ended up really using it for was to show that sometimes what people think is happening to the vehicles or to what the people are doing with them isn't happening, you know, and stuff. So, but I meant it's not, I see it as not something that is here to challenge the employees or county people, but it's here to, we need it for a benefit to see if we can't save, I don't know, time, money, whatever, you know, fuel and all of that. So, I mean, it's something maybe everybody needs to look at, and we have another meeting or two, or ask more questions, whatever.
Do we need these on every vehicle? I know some of them have the ABL locators anyway. I guess I don't know how many do we need. At some point, I know there was a program we purchased that said down at the communications center, it basically tracks every emergency law enforcement vehicle in the county if they have the AVL locator in it, in real time, I believe.
And that was one thing we talked about was the AVL that the Sheriff's Department has. You know, if it can give us most of this information or what we wanted, you know, there's no reason to have two for those vehicles. I mean, stay with the God or one or the other.
Some of our GPSs on the motor graders, those ping every once in a while, but they probably don't give the degree of information that's here. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't believe so. Okay. And I don't think our vehicle locator, I don't think we do diagnostics either, which would be a nice feature.
Yeah.
I don't think we have that.
It might be a replacement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Switching, you know.
Yep.
I find out that Don spends a lot of time eating ice cream at Sonic.
Yeah.
Nice. That's after 8 when it's half price.
Okay. Personal vehicle.
Yeah, personal vehicle. Yeah.
So the cost was so 23, almost 24,000 for initial upfront. That's what I'm.
If you had them, I think install every unit and stuff too. The cost was $215 to get a GPS and diagnostic. And a cable was $35 roughly. It was $250 for that. Then they had they would come down and train somebody for a fee. I can't remember exactly what
that
was.
There was different options, and I have it written on that one sheet where you can have them come down and install, and that's a higher price. You can do yourself install with a video, and they kind of walk you through it, or you can do a partial day that they will come down, show you how to do a few, and then you're on your own and assist you. So, because he said it's very simple to do.
Yeah.
So, and you can move them from one vehicle to another if you sell that vehicle. Then you can pull that unit out and put it in.
If you went with a GPS-only unit, it was $140 plus the $33.50 cable or whatever on here. So that's about $175 if you went with just the GPS. And that's when he's figuring this in, he was figuring 40 with GPS and diagnostic and 40 with GPS only. But like I said, I don't know if he looked at this. Don just gave us a sheet.
I gave him one, but I'm not sure if it, I gave him one that I had already submitted to our insurance company, and I think it's been updated. There may be a two or three more vehicles.
Right, but you had 80 vehicles on there, and he comes up with 84 on here, but 20 of them were trailers, which we're not going to put this on a trailer.
And that he said he put on, and there's different, and I gave you a copy of the different things. One of them is a type of mechanism that goes like on a tractor type, and it's waterproof, and it can be left on there, so it's a different.
I guess maybe we need to visit with this. I mean, this isn't something we need to do right now, but it's something we should look at. Visit it with this at some more committees, finance committees. I guess that's my thought. But just so wanted to bring this up so people are aware of this and start, I guess, asking, commenting, or whatever on it. So
I guess the way I read it, Myron, it'd be, my quick math is $14,000 a year.
Oh, added,
yeah, an annual expense of $14,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you did 60 times 20, you'd be over a little bit over. You'd be $12,000 to $14,000 a year annual expense. Yes.
I guess the one thing I would suggest is, as I suggested 2 or 3 years ago, is that we start an oil testing program, which would do a lot of this diagnostic stuff without having the. I mean, you can, if you test your oil every oil change, you know when you got something. You can know if you got rings going bad, or if you got antifreeze in your fluid, or if you got more dust. It might not be to this level, but my suggestion is you do that, and it'd be a heck of a lot cheaper.
This module, actually, there's a cable somewhere underneath the dash, and it actually plugs into that, and it reads the computer of the or it reads from the vehicle itself.
Tells you when your gas cap's not on tight enough,
and all of that.
And everything else, right?
Well, it will also
seatbelt buckled.
These reports will also tell you when they're speeding or not wearing a seatbelt and all of that. I mean, if you want that in the report, you can set it up so it gives you those part of the reports.
Right.
Because there are more companies doing this for their fleets or whatever. One of the questions we did ask him, well, what about in part of the county we don't have what we call the best coverage or whatever. Cell phone, I don't remember exactly how he phrased it. A cell phone uses, like, it needs this much of a signal to use. This only needs, like, this much because all it does is just, you know, every now and then just sending out information. It's not communicating back and forth, I guess, so.
Are there other companies that do this?
I'm guessing there probably are, but I don't know.
There are other companies that are doing it, and certainly that would be my criteria. You know, if they're doing it and keeping it, you know, then it's something worth looking into. It. If there a number of them have dropped it, why then it's probably not something we need.
No, I mean, are there other companies Verizon that
besides
offer
Verizon?
Besides
Verizon, yes.
Yeah, that I don't.
I think maybe there is.
There is.
I would say there is. If Verizon's doing this, there's some of the other cell phone companies or some of the other wireless communication companies are doing it, yeah. And that's something, too, we need to check in yet, too, and stuff.
I guess the next question I'd be interested to know is this going to make a difference on our insurance? You know, would we be getting some type of a discount for safe driver or whatever you want to call it? It'd be interested to know if NERMA would be excited by seeing that, something like that.
Be worth asking.
Right.
That we can ask him and sure send him an email. No, I mean, not him. I mean, send NERMA, visit with them. I don't think we'll have him come to the next meeting. We can always have him come back and visit with the whole board at some time. We'll check in to see if there's other companies. I guess Gus and Galen and you guys too, you give us some feedback. See what, you know, if you, we got some paperwork here if you want to look at it or whatever, but give us some feedback, give us some thoughts. See if good, bad, right or wrong, you know, I mean, if you knew you could have a cost savings on this and you could get a benefit, it would definitely be worth it. Now, it goes back to, again, how much are you going to use it to? You know, if you get a diagnostic report every Monday morning and you glance at it and throw it on the desk, well, then it don't do us a lot of good either. You know, then we don't need it either and stuff, so. But there are times where I think it would be a really good benefit. So we'll find out more information and keep you in touch and update you on that one. Then the other thing we had last week.
Got 1 minute and I got another time to vent.
Well, then I just will wait because we're going to visit about insurance.
I cut you off midstream last time, so this time I'll cut you off before you get started.
We'll wait because we're going to visit about insurance this time.
So we got about a minute before we open up our public hearing. So, again, if there's anyone that wants to speak on the public hearing. Yeah, it's for that the second half of that road closure out.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I figured I'd be rude and catch up now before you got started. So. Yes, sir. You want to speak on that? You want to...
For the public hearing?
No.
Oh, okay.
A little bit later on, I got a few questions for you.
Betcha. We'll jump right in after.
Yeah, you can squeeze me in.
About noon?
How about 4 o'clock?
We'll get right after you. It's 9:15. I need a motion to open up a public hearing. The purpose of the public hearing is to hear support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations to close and vacate a portion of a public road in Gage County located as follows. Vacation of the portion of a road of Olive Lane located on a part of the Southwest Quarter and on a part of the Northwest Quarter of Section 17, Township 2, North, Range 6 East, of the 6th Principal Meridian in Gage County, Nebraska, more particularly described as follows. And then there's nothing.
We'll open up
a public hearing, and then we'll have the highway superintendent come forward and give an explanation. We have talked about this once before. So I need a motion to open up a public hearing.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Lytle, seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote 6-0. We are in a public hearing. So Galen, maybe come forward quickly and describe specifically what this road is, since after the colon here, I have nothing.
Okay. This resolution is for the west half mile of this project. It'd be Olive Lane Road and Southwest 45th Road going east 1/2 mile. Previously, we had done one for the east end of the mile for the half mile going to the west. And at that time, at the public hearing, we had one landowner who thought he was, when he signed the petition, he thought he had signed it because they were closing the whole mile. And it was kind of a mix-up because time had, the gentleman who presented the petition, there was quite a time lapse in between the two, so he turned in another petition for basically the east half of the mile. So at that time, the board chose to go ahead and redo this end of it and add in the west half of the mile, so it'd be to close both ends of the whole mile would be closed, is what this is for. And so I have the legal description for the east half of the mile and the legal description for the west half of the mile to close this entire mile down is what it's for.
And Matt, this road hasn't been traveled. I mean, there's bridge out, culverts out, hasn't been traveled for Galen 20 years or longer?
Oh, it's been closed for probably 25, 30 years, okay. Somewhere in there.
Drove by that the other day, and it's all grass and growing up.
You wouldn't know there's a road there. There was at one time.
It's just access to the farm property. Yes.
Formality.
And people go back and hunt, and, you know, whatever. But
comfortable with that? Okay. So I don't see anyone here to speak for or against or in opposition or give us any more information. So, board, have any more questions for Galen? Gus, do you want to speak to the road?
Oh, he always talks to the road. What are you talking about?
Okay. I need a motion to close a public hearing at 9:18.
So move.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Any further discussion? Remember, we'll come back in the next meeting to take action. So, see no further discussion. Vote 6-0. We're closed the public hearing. Glenn Hart, can I have the ladies from the tourism come and do their quarterly report, and then we'll jump right into you. Is that acceptable?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. All right.
It's raining now, ain't it?
Yep.
We'll have Angie Bruna present the quarterly tourism report, please.
Morning. It's been a busy few months since I was here last in March. In the packets I've passed out, I have copies of the tourism director's reports that I give to my advisory committee, as well as where we're at on the visitor improvement funds and lodging tax income in our budgets. We have recently, last July, we started the new MAP project, and we finally got them in-house and delivered, and we're very excited. The new colors coincide with the colors of the chamber's logo, and one of the projects we're working on with Tourism Advisory Committee is refreshing the logo that we're going to use for our branding for our tourism department, too, and that will all tie together when it's all done. So I did not bring the copies of what we're working on for the logo because we're not quite ready to present it just yet. Some of the things that we are working on currently, I'm also in the process of updating our Gage County visitor guide that we hand out to any groups that come in to visit the county, as well as if somebody calls and says, do you have any information on Beatrice or Gage County? I'm thinking about coming on a trip. We pop one in the mail and send it out. So that's going to get I'm down to about 20 of them left. So I have a little thing that I created to hand out in the meantime. We're looking at an October delivery time frame as far as for the Gage County visitor guide. A couple of groups that I'm working with, the Big Blue Biking Club is planning a bicycling event starting and ending in Beatrice, and that will take place on Saturday, September 13th. They've already got several signed up, and they're looking to do a lot more promoting. They're partnering with us with the tourism. I've got it on my website so people can go there and access the registration form. It's up. You can choose 25, 50, 75, or 100-mile routes, and they all start at, I believe, like at Eakes. And then they'll ride out towards Fairbury and out and around and come back. I don't have the exact map with me. But that's September 13th. We're excited. Next year, we've already got plans to partner with the Lincoln Convention and Visitors Bureau and to have them go that direction. So they plan to do this as an annual event. Another group I'm working with is the Cruisers of Nebraska. They're out of Beatrice. It's a car show group, and they are planning a car show on September 27th at Chautauqua Park, and any proceeds that they gain from this will be supported of the USO. So we're very excited to partner with them on that. Other things I'm working on, the Trail of Treasures is October 3rd through 5th. This is the third annual event. The Heritage Highway Association has done this event, and this year we're trying to make Beatrice and Gage County a bigger splash. We are the largest community along the whole byway route, so we figure we should have the largest presence. We've gotten permission from the City of Beatrice to have a central location at Trailhead Park, so vendors can come and set up at no charge if they want to. They just have to call me ahead of time by September 5th so that I can make sure and reserve their spot. If you have a sale in Beatrice, you can be included on a community map that we'll distribute, and you just have to let me know ahead of time. It's $10 to help cover the cost of the printing of those things. I'm also in the works of creating a marketing plan, and so that I can schedule out, okay, social media, these kind of things are going to go out on these days, and these are the articles I'm going to write, as well as what advertising avenues are we going to pursue in print, and if we want to do radio or other website advertisings. There is, right now we're reviewing the Nebraska travel guide that will come out in 2015, looking at trying to find funds for putting an ad in that so Gage County has a presence in the travel guide. A sixth of a page is what we would like, and that is $4,000 for one ad that's a sixth of a page. And then if you want an online presence, that's an additional $1,250, I think, is the package that we're looking at, interested in pursuing. I think 2008 was the last time that our bylaws were reviewed, so we're in the works of working with committee members from the Tourism Advisory Committee and reviewing those to present to the Tourism Advisory Committee to approve, to send on to you guys for a final blessing on some updates on the bylaws, and as well as the Visitor Improvement Fund guidelines. In July, the LB 215 went into effect, which changes some of the parameters of how the funds can be distributed from the Visitor Improvement Fund. They've added in that you can use the funds, if approved by the Advisory Committee and the Board, they can help market attractions in Gage County. So where Odell had recently put together a brochure and printed it for the Rice Lodge and Conference Center, as well as their Old West Trail Center, they could have came to us and applied for a grant to help with the funds for producing that, which then they send out and try and get people to come to our area. The conversation started that it's great to have all these attractions, but if you aren't out actively marketing them and telling people to come see what we have, then what's the purpose of having updated all these beautiful and wonderful things we have in our county? So those will be coming to you in the next few short months. I'm also an active member of the Southeast Nebraska Travel Council. We are right now working on updating the content for the 2015 guide that will come out in January. I'm also on their advertising committee and their grant writing committee, so a lot of lapsing of what I'm doing with my job, too. The Heritage Highway 136 group will be meeting here next Monday on the 11th. So we have conference calls most months, and then I think every third or fourth month we go to one of the towns and have a meeting, and I volunteered Beatrice for this time. So if you have any questions, there's more that's going on, but I have most of it included in here. I'm always willing to chat or answer an email. So any questions for me?
Have you had any contact from Steve Whitworth from DuPage County Ag Society?
Yes, with Homestead Days, we partnered with the Ag Society for fireworks. I don't know if everybody knew that yet, but with the fireworks display that we had out at the fairgrounds, we had partnered with the Ag Society, and they contributed funds towards having it a bigger show. I've also been in talk with Dan Crawford about helping promote an event on August 24th at the Speedway, and just really looking at ways we can help each other moving forward. So,
do you have any grants that are, I guess, pending? I'm not pending. I don't know what that
potentials
been approved. That have been approved or committed, I guess.
We don't have any right now.
Okay.
No. I've talked to a couple people. I haven't seen any applications come in yet. So.
And I need to get some information from you again to send back to them.
Okay. One of them was Blue Springs Ball Field Group is looking at applying, so.
We have a tower down there we would like taken down if we apply for it now.
Well,
I don't think that would qualify.
I can sell tickets to watch Terry push
it over. Right. We can sell tickets.
Actually, we do need to talk about that.
We do.
A lot of them are down there. So anyway.
Okay. Any other questions?
Oh, sorry.
Push the plunger raffle.
Yes.
This week we did start. I have meetings scheduled with four of our hotels here in Beatrice that about meeting and talking about tourism and what they would like to see from our tourism department, how we can all work together and make our guests have the best stay that they possibly can. We had our first one yesterday, and I have three more throughout the rest of the week. So trying to keep it busy.
Thank you for coming. Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you for having me.
Need a motion to put her financial reports basically on file.
So moved.
Moved second. By Hill, second by Dorn. Vote 6-0 to approve. All right. We'll jump in. I'll go back to comments from the public and request for future agenda items. I don't know if I did that. Don says I did, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Did I? Sometimes I have the memory of a goldfish. I got to go back. So, Lenhart, what would you like to speak about? You're welcome to come forward and.
Lenhart Fritzen, my address is 29813 South 120th Road, and I suppose you guys is wondering what the heck I'm wanting to do here again, huh? But anyhow, I just got a few questions. You guys was talking about the mill levy. I was thinking about that. Really, that mill levy shouldn't even be. It should be dollars. You can get so many dollars and forget about the mill levy. If you need an increase in more money in each category, tax each one a little bit more instead of mill levy. It really makes, like that 3 cents, well, the valuation goes up all the time. If it was strictly dollars increase what they requested, wouldn't that be more simple? Really?
And in a way, it really is dollars.
But you got your mill levy, and then you got your valuation increases, and it creates a lot more dollars than if you just strictly say, well, this is it, you're getting so many dollars, then like on township board, like mill levy, you're allocated so much, well, valuation goes up, maybe they need it, maybe they need more, well, then you got to have a special,
Lenhart, on the township boards, they are governed by the LID, the 2.5%.
Well, yeah, yeah.
So, and then they, you factor backwards to get their mill levy. The fire here, what we were talking about, the fire departments, that, because of that organization, and like I said, we don't all understand that, they do the 3 cent mill levy. And that is what you're referring to. Yeah, it, because of valuation increase, it keeps increasing.
Yeah, I mean, it creates a lot of dollars.
That's where that discussion stemmed from. But a good, our county budget and the townships, we're all limited by that LID.
Yeah.
So we can't, whether we like it or not, we kind of back into the mill levy. We figure it backwards and we come up with what the mill levy is.
Yeah.
And we don't do the 3 mill levy increase or whatever. But yeah, you are right on part of that though.
When I was listening. Oh, what I was wondering about now, do you guys still have an agreement with Beatrice, since you needed to have an agreement with the county so they could vote on the increase in the sales tax? Did you ever have an agreement that they had to have from the county?
That's where they had put that on the ballot to have the people vote for that. It was
in
Beatrice, and then we had the agreement. It didn't pass, so that's all dead.
Yep. So it's all done. Okay. Now I've got one more question, a few more. Now, are you guys going to increase the mill levy again and then the valuation increase and give us a double whammy like last year? 30% increase on land value, you know, and you increase the mill levy. The schools is doing it too, you know, and so look what.
Our mill levy actually went down, but because of your increase in valuation, particularly all the ag land, even though we went down a little bit, this went up a lot more than this went down. So the net effect was for the people with ag land, they actually got a larger tax bill. Yes.
Yeah, it'll be again.
So, but here again, this past year, I believe our ag land in the county went up roughly 23%.
30. Mine did.
Yours went up 30?
Yeah.
Well, you must be a lucky one or something. I don't know what to have.
Well,
he's got better land.
He's got better land.
Better land?
I don't know. Countywide, we went up on ag land roughly 23%.
It varied.
It varies on the quality and the classifications of your land.
Yeah.
And Leonard, I will tell you this though, just because of that increase, and then the houses or the housing in Gage County went up, I believe, less than 1%, or I can't remember exactly.
It's not much.
Our commercial went up 3 or 4%, and I believe our housing went up valuation roughly 1%.
Basically flat.
It was flat or 1%.
Pretty well flat.
Because of what that net effect is, yes, you will be getting, and I call it an extra part in your tax bill because you.
Yeah.
What I think at one time we were 67% of the county was value was ag land, and now we're up to 70. I can't remember.
The valuation in the county lies outside of the municipal boundaries of any village or township, or village or town. So it's ag land is where the value is.
That's where it went up.
Right,
quickly.
Which is with the city council, they're running into issues because some of their tax base is gone. Just because valuations have dropped. So what we see in the county, you're correct, probably pushing 70% of the valuation in the county is in non-cities and villages, where when the industries were here back in the 90s, seems like a long time ago, early 2000s, there was a lot more tax base here. But.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, the land will produce about so much, and, you know, right now it's 100% devalue in the corn price from a year ago, so I'm wondering what's going to take place.
Well, you know, to explain that, you know, the county, in simple terms, the way I understand it, the county needs so many dollars to operate.
Yeah.
Okay, as valuations rise, the tax levy drops. And I'll give you an example of that. But if your valuations rise on your property, you're going to pay a bigger burden of it just because of the valuation. Going back, in 2011-12, the levy was 0.392833. And you go to 12-13, 0.394647. 13-14 dropped down to 0.376423. And again, we're probably this year looking at another drop in the levy. That hasn't been set yet, but Don would have a better idea on that. But your levy, you're asking per $100 valuation is going to decrease simply because higher valuations. I mean, that's the gist of it, the way I understand it. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're leaving the levy the same. We're not doing that. That levy is dropping.
You are decreasing the,
yes,
you
know,
the mill levy.
Yeah. Well, see, like the school, well, the district I'm in, too. There's a bond levy went through, the bonds that's on the sideline. They went the limit on what they could levy, and then you got that 30% increase in valuation. Boy, you got quite a whammy. Right, Dorn?
And you got to remember, you know, almost 70% of your taxes do go to school districts.
Yep, a little
approximately
over.
Right,
a little
in there.
Over.
So
I just want to tell Norm, though, just because every time he shows up here, we don't always talk about this stuff. I'm sure he thinks he does.
But, don't let him off the hook. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
More often. Senator?
I've got another question. Now, is it... the federal that all the signs have got to be changed in the county? Is that where does that law come from?
That's Department of Federal.
All the is that a federal mandate nationwide?
Gave the reflectivity on the signs.
Yeah. Well, and then the size. I was talking. They was putting up a sign. It's got to be 4 inches bigger, you know. And if you can't see the sign 4 inches smaller, you can't see the big one either. But, I mean, where did this come from? I mean, who, Norm, did you make that law?
I believe it was a federal mandate that
that's
we've had so
I
many
understand.
Years to get it accomplished, and I believe that's correct. It was mandated through the federal government.
Now, have you got a time frame when that's got to be done?
Got what?
I think we have ours all up, but the crew has to check those yearly then and make sure they're up to snuff what they're supposed to be. But I think we're pretty well have most of those in place, don't we, Galen? Is that correct?
The ones that we ordered, that big batch we ordered, we're still working on putting a lot of those up. But this fall again, though, we got to go out, and cause that was only approximately half of the signs in Gage County. And we got to go revisit all the signs to see if any more has... fell below the specifications, and the chances are we might have more that we have to replace this next coming year.
Yeah. So I've got one other deal I got to bring up. I'm going to quit pretty quick here. Philly Adams Road, there should be a sign on the north end that it's dangerous driving at night. Should be a sign there. It's hazardous driving at night.
Why?
Why?
Why? Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. It used to come from Eagle and Lincoln, and I never fell asleep, and now I got a problem. I might fall asleep. And I was going to comment that they are, I don't know, they done an awful good job on the road. I mean, but...
And Hart, I have advocated speed bumps, but I can't get it passed.
No. But another thing, we don't know. I mean, you can't tell, but who checks the thickness and stuff on the blacktop?
That was done in-house. We had Mark Minnelli was normally in charge of these overlays. He's the engineer. We had a gentleman in Galen's office that accepted that responsibility. He went up for a week's training up there, maybe longer. So it was those costs were all in the Gage County Highway Department.
Well, if all them roads get that way, that guy's doing a wonderful job, I think.
Thanks.
So... Well, that's about it. I got one more thing. I see Gus has got it. He's got his scouts out tearing their roads up yet. But I thought you was in the other room.
No, I'm right here.
That's about all I got to say. Thanks a lot, here. Yeah. I just had her come and talk about it.
You're welcome anytime. Absolutely. Okay. Next, I have approve or disapprove.
Finished committee.
Let's finish committee reports. Skip right.
We can do them later. It doesn't matter.
Right ahead. I'm sorry.
I
cut you off. We never got back to you.
We didn't talk about insurance. We had an insurance meeting. Don, I, and Amber, Lowell, and Brad visited last week. Part of what they visited about was, and I mean, Don, I should have Don maybe explain it more. More of the Obamacare, or whatever you want to call it, things are starting, I guess, to come into effect. And they're, we've already sent, I think, $380 or something up for there's this tax.
$384.
Next year, $62 an employee, right?
That's going to be the first.
That'll be next year. The year after that, like 34, 30.
40-something. And 42. Then the next year after that, it'll be less. And then we're supposed to be done with it.
This is not a choice we get. It's a choice that part of Obamacare. And that's how they are starting the funding for that, apparently. So all of our – it's not per member that's doing the insurance. It's employee, right?
Per employee.
Per employee. So that will be a bill that will have their 6,200 times whatever employees we have. So
come January, we'll have a little salty bill.
That's in January. We pay that and stuff. So, but they are, I guess, not starting to. They're getting more information and what, as all companies are, on Obamacare now and what that has an effect and how that will affect. And we visited some about our county here. And the reason I bring that up is, a part of this, they call it more risk exposure then. You cannot deny anybody for previous medical things. So, you know, not saying you'll have more, but the companies or the reinsurers and those, they're protecting themselves more than anything, I guess. There is more risk, a possible risk exposure out there. That's not saying you as a county or anybody will have more, but that was part of the conversation.
I think we kind of had that pre-existing condition. Anyhow, once you get on a group, you really have that anyhow. But that passes now where there's no pre-existing.
That if you capped out, you were out. That's been eliminated. Yeah.
There's certain things there that only affect our county. They affect all the counties and all the businesses, too. So, but, I mean, that's part of what in here. We would originally she came down and said we were going to have a 13% rate increase. We visited and currently we have a $1,000 deductible.
Okay, but she got it lowered to 11%.
11%. If we take the HS.
It's 11% anyhow, but the HSA.
Well, no, if we take the $4 out because we're not. If we take the. The HRA administration, which we have a $1,000 deductible, first $500 the employee picks up, the second $500 we reimburse. And to do that, we're running it through our health, whatever, HRA. They charge us $4 per person per month for that administrative fee.
The reason we did that back in the day was we were able to go with a higher deductible, it lowered the premium, so it benefited the county, but it wasn't any additional cost to the employee. So we actually saved money with the same coverage, but we also looked at the number of people who had actually exceeded the deductible, and it was so small, we just didn't put out that much money. But now it appears the administrative fee is probably getting up there.
Well, it's cumbersome, and we're not saving anything by it. So I said it's probably just as easy for us to handle that.
At one point, we had a savings in the premium that we were paying per employee. So it was a good deal at the time, but that apparently is eroded.
We will end up with an 11% increase in our, I don't know, everybody should have a packet on the one, on the total fixed annual cost we would,
No, I think we'll you just gave packets for the insurance committee. So.
Oh, you just gave the committee? I haven't given everybody
that's
else.
That's all I had right now, so.
That's okay.
No. We're getting copies again, though?
I thought they gave us extra packets on it.
Because there was only you there. It was two packets.
They just gave it for the but they are planning on being here on the 20th to
get everybody copies of it.
Part of what we talked about though, and what we need to here visit about now is this if we get rid of the HRA and put the deductible down at $500, that will save us approximately $5,000 in cost for this administration fee. But Amber sent a thing out that we thought we had the 20th to approve that. So we need to talk about the deductible today because, no, They need to have that signed before the 20th if we do that. Originally, when I was the only one here with Amber, Dawn, and everything, we talked about just doing away with it, just having a $500 deductible. That day, also did visit with her a little bit about, well, what if we move that up to $600-$700 deductible? Matt and I had a conversation since then. What if we leave this at $1,000 deductible the way it is now and have the employee be responsible for the full $1,000?
That's still an awfully good package for any employee.
It is very good, and it's good for the county. We're self-insured. It's been a good experience. So I don't want to beat the thing up, but you go out there and you find any private industry that's got $1,000 deductible is just absolutely unheard of. So it's good. It's doubling it for the employees, right. So they would probably see a shock there. But what does it do to the overall premium? Is there a mutual benefit there by touching the premium?
She said what it does is just helps lower your exposure. And we don't know what that exposure is from year to year. It's just going to depend.
Not every employee uses the full $500 deductible or the full $1,000 deductible. You know, there are employees in the county that don't go to the doctor for various reasons. And there's other employees that it don't take them very long to get to the $500 or the $1,000. I mean, you've got the whole range. And I think we hit.
So they're eroding any savings you can have on the premium now, even if you increase the deductible?
Right, because our fixed costs are there. Yeah. This is only going to minimize your exposure.
Yeah.
And that's why I did email her yesterday to make sure, and if we do raise the deductible, really in terms of increasing deductible on the fixed costs, that will remain the same. It's just that the county will have less exposure in terms of claims since it will take people longer to get to the $1,600 or $700 deductible. So you're not saving. So that's why the premiums for the two, employee plus one or the family, are going to have to go up.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's our exposure that's going to.
How much last year did we, the county, pay of that difference between the $500 and $1,000?
And that was the one report we talked about, and I'm going to have to go through because with this group that we switched to, I didn't have names, so sometimes you may have appeared on a list three or four times depending on how large the bill was. So we've got to get that report as to how many people really even hit that buyback option. And I didn't have that many reports come in. Once I started getting names, then I knew, you know, that they appeared several times because they may have a $50 bill that was over the $500 till they reached, you know, you don't have just usually one large bill that covers it. You get several claims.
Do we get the reports specific enough that we could administer the same program we've been running, only we do it through your office?
Well, that's what we discussed, and that's what I told Amber initially. I said, let me just handle it in-house and save that $5,000, but it really isn't going to make any difference for us. That's why we were talking about going back to, because $1,000 and buying back the $500 isn't really saving us anything. So we said we might as well drop it all together. We weren't going to gain.
You weren't going to gain anything.
Not that I don't believe you. I just find it hard to believe that by increasing your deductible out-of-pocket cost for the beneficiary, that it doesn't lower the premium.
It's because we're self-insured.
Because we're self-insured. Self-insured, if you were with a Blue Cross Blue Shield, that makes a difference because we're self-insured. Well, Matt, our risk exposure here in RCI, because we just, they didn't have the July and August ones here yet, but for 10 months, the county paid a total of $707,187 in total claims. That's for 10 months. This is a report that they gave us.
Yeah, we didn't know. I didn't know until yesterday. But.
So, I mean, and that's what's the county's risk exposure because we're because of the reinsurer, we're liable up to the first $45,000 on a patient or a claim, and we actually had one this year that went over that. So that's when the reinsurance picks up, and that's how you get more risk for that. But we only have so much. We have so many pool of employees. You know, your maximum risk is here, and then they make a prediction on that. What your theoretical risk exposures are going to be.
Mm-hmm. I'll just have her make copies.
We're different than like an insurance company. We're when you're self-insured, and that goes back to our insurance fund here too. You know, we had $1,200,000 in there. Part of what Don has proposed is raising that to $1,500,000 because, and not only Don, Amber also talked about this, because of your greater risk, possible greater risk exposure. Not saying you will have any.
But listen to these numbers. Our risk exposure is just once they exceed $45,000, we'd have...
No, we pick up everything up to $45,000.
And, okay, so actually we could have $500 risk exposure on each employee.
No, we...
If we went from $500 to $1,000,
yes,
dollar deductible.
Well, no, that's the same, because right now our deductible, we reimburse the second $500.
So our exposure is the same.
Our exposure is already there.
Okay.
See, at one point, there was a premium reduction there, right. So there was a cost-benefit. Now, see, that's gone. So then I guess I would recant my statement and say, why would we double the asking employee to do more if it doesn't benefit them, doesn't benefit us?
It doesn't benefit them. It doesn't benefit us.
Yeah, I would say it's a good deal.
That's what we talked about at the meeting.
At the meeting.
We weren't going to gain anything.
Yeah.
So
that just sounds crazy.
Yeah. Because our exposure was kind of hidden behind that
HRA. And basically, we were doing all this extra paperwork and not saving anything.
Because of the administrative fee.
Because of administrative fee.
Matt's right. That's the reason we went to the $1,000 deductible, was because there was a premium reduction involved with it.
On our fixed cost, yeah.
But with the ACA, now that's all gone. Are they making adjustments for the Affordable Care Act? Everyone's...
See, all those changes have come into play now, I think, with these new laws.
These Obamacare.
Okay. They're just mandating certain things, and it changes.
Don is getting copies for all of us that, since we're having to make the decision today.
Yeah.
But there would be a cost savings if we did increase the employee deductible to $1,000.
Not from what we're currently not.
Not on our premium, but on what. I mean, they would be paying the first $1,000 rather than the first $500.
I understand.
So
yes,
anything between the $500 and $1,000 they are paying.
That would be a cost savings to the county, because anything between the $500 and $1,000 of the employee, if you went to $1,000 deductible, the employee would be picking up and the county would not be picking that up. Yes.
Because we'd be putting an additional burden on the employee.
We'd be putting that extra cost on the employee.
Right.
What did we pay out last year when we were doing that? When we were picking up the second half, so you had the $5,000 administrative fee. What was the other?
Well, see, that's the report that she didn't have, or they didn't have available. I don't know how many people, but my reports, I don't have that many reports, so we can't have a lot, because initially they didn't provide that information to me. Okay. And she was going to get that, or they were going to try to get that from
RCI.
From
our carrier.
Which we realized, just because last year there was a certain figure, it's who knows what it will be the next year, but it would give you kind of an idea.
I believe with, and I have the number here, I believe with single people, and we have three plans, a single coverage, single plus one, and a family.
Employed.
Those are the three plans we have. And underneath all of those, I thought I saw somewhere that we have 189 people on that.
I think that's right. 189
people. Okay. So that was this last year that we have on that. Again, the employees, if they want to make a change too, I think that's by September 1st.
Yes. That last week in August they can change.
Last week in August.
Opt in or out.
So, you know, there's some other family members on there now. Not, like I said, not, it's just like any, you know, we have some people that, for whatever reason or circumstances, they will be taking advantage or using it a lot. Not taking advantage, but using a lot. And then you also have some employees that don't use it at all, you know. And how that balances out, that's an unknown too. So.
This just kind of, this email just, she just sent this to me yesterday on this, dropping this HRA. If we do that, this point in time, it's a clean cutoff, and we can.
I didn't ask you earlier. If we drop the HRA, and can we still make a decision on the deductible later?
Well, I think
what we need to make a decision on today is dropping the HRA, though. But you want to she has it both.
Well,
on
she's
there.
Assuming because based on a conversation that we weren't going to.
Okay.
Wasn't going to save us anything. We were going to just recommend to hold it at the
500.
Way it is, yep. With just doing away with HRA.
And Kathy, I will say this, that several of them, including Amber, did mention or did comment several times that this is a good plan. They go, this is a real good plan. I mean, not from looking at it from the perspective of the employees.
Right.
There are not... how did they phrase that? There are not that many of them out there that have one that has what we have in it for the employee. So.
I think it benefited us when we started our self-insurance.
Yes.
And that's what's really helped us as a county right now compared to a lot of the other ones. Mm-hmm. It was a real benefit.
We could also, like this year, increase it to a $750 deductible and then look at it next year if we need to go up to $1,000, but I don't think you're going to find any companies out there, or you would have a hard time finding any companies that have a $500 deductible and these kind of premium rates.
Amazing. I don't disagree with Kathy, but I guess my feeling is that in order to just have this come up today and make a decision to do this today and tell the employees this is going to happen, I don't agree with that at all. If it's something that we could look at doing for next year, maybe, but I don't see going from 500 to 750 or 1,000 either
as
one.
You're like, talking as far as raising the deductible.
Raising the employee's deductible.
I would agree with that so that we can really get the how it's going to affect the plan overall, and we'll have a year's experience with it and put it on the table for next year.
That's kind of what we ended up toward the end of the meeting saying.
That was kind of our discussion at the meeting with Amber and them, because we discussed 600 or 700. We discussed several of those, and we also thought that maybe just leave it at the 500 this year, but it's still up to this board.
The other change that's going to happen come next year, too, that may make a difference is that your copay amount will go toward your deductible. And that's going to change with the new laws. And so that's another thing where you can raise your deductible because they're going to have monies to put toward
it. This year, the pharmacy copay is not towards it yet, but next year it will be under Obamacare.
Right. A lot of that's going to, unless it changes before then.
These rules, I mean, it takes somebody.
For now.
If Amber wouldn't be here.
It's a moving target.
If Amber wouldn't be here to explain this stuff, I don't know if you could understand the. This year, under this plan and Obamacare, if you go to a doctor's visit, that deductible does qualify towards your, copay qualifies towards your deductible. But if you go to the pharmacy or when you go to the pharmacy to get your medication, this year under Obamacare, that copay does not qualify towards your deductible. She thought next year it probably will.
But we have a lot of facilities that now the way the billing is being done, so a lot of them aren't using copay, you know, being able to take advantage of the office copay. So we were kind of in a catch.
So we'll take no action today. This is basically just discussion. We have nothing to take action on.
You just need to, if we can't take any action, but I want this email, if we want to feel like that we want to pursue the removing the HRA and things like that, then.
Can we do that next meeting?
Yeah.
Me too.
And we'll have to pass. We'll just do everything at next.
Can you do that administratively in your office then if we take the HRA away?
Right, but we won't probably have to do anything. Depending on how we decide, but if we take the HRA away, everything goes away and it's just the 500 and then we're done. We don't. Otherwise, we would do it administratively there, yes, because it was a hassle. It was just too much lag time. People didn't know where they were at, what was going on, and it was involving me anyhow. So
we can decide this on the 20th?
We'll just have, they'll be here. They'll be here on the 20th. Now, Myron won't be.
I will not be here on the 20th, but Amber and Brad and Lowell will be here to explain any and all of it.
Potential changes would be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if we didn't confuse you today, they will straighten you out then on the 20th. No, I don't know.
They'll continue to confuse.
When you and I'll compliment, but I'll compliment Amber on this. I mean, when you sit down in these meetings and then she starts explaining some of this stuff, we were there an hour and a half to 2 hours the other day because it took to work through it and to.
No, Myron, it was 3 hours.
That was 3 hours? No, I thought our budget meeting was 3 hours.
Oh, that was 3 hours because we started at 9 and we ended at noon.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
She makes the time go by so quickly.
You get the feeling that she understands this. And the Obamacare, there's a lot of pluses and minuses either way, and it affects people a lot, and it affects a lot of the businesses and the companies just in this whole range of things. And to get a full understanding on that, you sometimes wonder if the administration people are even understanding it completely because it changes, you know, and it will. It will continue to change.
All right.
Next time, I'm not going to be the only one there. No.
We refer to our plan as a Myron Dorn care plan.
No, that one. Don was there, though, to help to understand this. I thank everybody for it.
All right, Matt. Before we leave finance, how about if we invite some of the local high school superintendents and maybe Norm to explain the state aid education and how it has impacted the local districts the past few years? Because I think it needs explained.
You just got thrown under the bus, Norm.
Well, now or when they come back, if we get somebody to come.
When I was on the school board and they started to talk about state aid formula, everybody did this.
Yeah.
I think there's one person that understands it.
Financial officer.
But as far as numbers that they've received the last few years, they'll have them. You know, how it's going to affect them in the future. Like you say, it's a complicated process.
Well, at the risk of setting you up here on the spot, what about the 20th? I mean, it's all sincerity. August 20th, is that?
You want to do it in the committee meeting, don't you?
Or committee meeting?
It doesn't matter.
Do that, well,
I think I'll be gone the 20th, but otherwise...
18th.
The 18th? You want to shoot for the 18th? See if we can get some folks here just to come in the...
And maybe we could do some of the superintendents on a committee meeting and then have one of them summarize it sometime down the road.
Ask your superintendent here, but it's a lot of, you know, like poverty funnels in there, free lunches. A lot of things factor in there to get state aid.
You might even consider a financial officer at the school. Not saying the superintendents don't know, but... they have somebody that specifically works with that.
We'll work on an invite.
Okay.
We'll do that.
One other quick thing then before I leave here. Also, Engage has a meeting then on that Thursday, the 21st. I won't be there at that meeting, and we do need a representative at that meeting. Yeah, we do need a representative at that meeting because we are right before that meeting. The last... information I got right before that meeting, we are going to elect a replacement for Bob Morgan. Bob Morgan went on city council, so he's now the city representative on there. We're going to have a meeting right before that, at least that's the last that Andy has sent out, to vote on that. And we have Pat Nurth and John Brazil, both from the school over here, that both have agreed to put their names up, so one of those hopefully will be elected for that board. But I don't know if, Matt, if you can attend that. It's at 4 o'clock on the 21st. Somebody... Just so we...
Yeah. I'm going to go. I'll go.
Does that work for you? Or, I mean, just so we don't think two others, somebody else is going to do it, and then we'll plan on you. Or did you have a question?
Did we have an alternate that was after Myron on that?
I don't know if we do on
I thought. I thought in the agreement... It was
did.
The chairman was the voting member, and then we always would just appointed Myron as our representative to make that decision. We had done that last time, I believe, with we can look at the agreement. And if we need to take action on the 20th to designate somebody, we can do that, too, because their meeting is not until the 21st.
And you can vote by proxy, too. I talked to Mr. Carruthers. So,
yeah.
I mean, if Matt or whomever you guys pick is covering for Myron.
We can vote by proxy, so I can do it ahead of time.
Their bylaws do.
The bylaws state because last time Adams and Corbin both voted by proxy.
That's fine too.
So I can get a hold of them and vote by proxy.
There, I can just.
There's a ballot over there.
You got a ballot already?
Okay. I haven't voted.
you haven't. Okay, we'll make sure we get, take care of that by proxy. But if somebody would like to attend that meeting as a representative, I mean, because I will not be there on the 21st. So if you wanted, that'd be great.
I'll plan on being there just to be there. But
okay,
Matt can plan on being there to be the representative.
Can I be there just to be there?
No, I'll be there to be there. You be the representative.
Always one that's got to say that.
Who invited him?
With all seriousness, so we'll work out an invite based on John's request, and we'll work with you to make sure we get that right. So we'll send a letter out, and then on the 20th we'll discuss exactly how the 21st will go. But you're going to vote by proxy then.
If that's agreeable.
I don't have them right in front of me, but if it allows for that.
Engage bylaws.
Yeah, then I think that's that letter, just go ahead and do that. Yeah, right here. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anything else for finance?
I took enough of time up.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Wait till we get to a budget.
Human resource, employee relations. Yeah. God, I can't think of anything straight offhand. It'll be probably employee relations would be probably tarnished if Gary gets his way to increase the deductible and health insurance.
That was Kathy's idea, by the way.
Yep.
So, try to be coy. Try to keep it light. So nothing for human resources, employee relations, law enforcement, emergency management?
Gus, did you get, I guess the one question I had, did you get the louvers? Did you get any type of estimate for that?
Dave had it. I'd run it through him. He took it to
Buildings and Grounds.
Finance, somebody took it.
Buildings and Ground.
They're going to talk about it today. That's what he took anyway.
No, Buildings and Ground, yes. Who else was here with me?
I was here, but I wasn't on the...
No, you weren't on it, but Dave showed up for a little while. And it was a little bit over $10,000, I think, for the bid. And from the Buildings and Grounds perspective, Denny was here. Don, you remember too, from Buildings and Grounds, we decided not to do, for $10,000 cost, not to do the louvers, and we'd just take our risk.
There you go. Okay. And what that was about was the louvers to protect those windows that the rock thrower knocked out on the backside. Well, it didn't knock out, but cracked on the backside of the jail.
Well, and then one other time too, there's been I guess somebody shot at him or something too, and had that too, what Dave did have the bid back, and it was $10,000 something. I can't remember exactly for the how many, five or seven windows, five windows on that side, and for that they were a louver that they kind of, instead of down like this, they went up like this, let the sunlight in, but they would protect the window or whatever. And at least I'm not on that committee, but there was three of us there, and we just told Dave that for that cost that we'd probably just as soon try and assume the risk, and we've had it twice and I don't know, and hopefully we won't have no more. That's a risk we take, but that was what the Buildings and Ground, us people that were here for that committee, decided. So that, I mean, if you want to change something different, we're here at the board. So
can we put sand in the sand back there in the alley so there's no rocks?
Or we could close it, but I don't know. You know, like Myron said, it's a gamble either way. It's $10,000. I think half was travel time and installation, so I don't know if it goes on the frame, they weld it, what they do.
That was
one thing Dave and I are questioning, but it's been twice, and I don't know how many years we've had those up there. Around 3 years? Two? What's it been? I can't remember now. So, I hope it's not a pattern. It is a gamble, obviously.
It's a gamble.
So.
Yeah.
And each window expense is like, what, $3,500?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, it is a gamble, but but you are right. The installation was over half of that, half of that amount.
There must be something involved.
With the fence and they were going to have to, Dave thought they figured in there a cost of renting some type of apparatus or truck or lift so that they could.
Mount up there,
so, yeah.
Let's quit talking about it and quit making such a target out of it.
The judge can cure this real quick.
That's
get about 10 years per broken window, and that might cure the problem.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's
see, law enforcement. Oh, just kind of an update on communications. We're kind of waiting on the Blue Springs Tower, and John and I went and looked at that last night, and you know, we're not tower experts, but it's a big tower, and there's a ballpark real close, but obviously we know that has to come down. We did have a meeting with the city, and we're kind of waiting on some consulting report or recommendation out of First Wireless and Doug Ostergaard about if and when we take that down, where is the next location of the equipment to provide communication coverage for the fire districts down there. There's been some discussion that maybe Beatrice may be able to reach down in that area based on how they move their equipment on their tower. So we're actively waiting for some of that recommendation to come back. And I guess my thoughts on that is, you know, we have in the past been in charge of the communications for those, and that's our equipment down there. And I think that now that we've got to remove that tower, I would at some point lobby to say we need to get that thing up and running so that it serves a purpose down there, do what we need to, and then we back away and turn some of that stuff over. But we're just waiting for coverage recommendations at this point. And I know I talked to Tim just the other day, and he hadn't heard anything back yet. I did get a communication, an email from Chief Deputy Klaus to contact a person from Diode regarding that tower, and I tried to call the Diode gentleman back and just got into a voicemail that I couldn't leave a message on, so kind of bouncing back and forth. So kind of what's going on down there. And I don't know how to take those towers down. I don't know what the regulations are, but there looks like, at the risk of being coy, there may be an opportunity to just drop the thing. I mean, to go in a certain direction, I don't know how far it would reach, but I would think bringing in a crane to take that thing piece by piece would be really expensive. But, you know, just kind of a low-tech, common-sense kind of thing is let the sucker fall and start torching it in pieces when it's on the ground. But, I mean, realistically, there's a lot of trees and stuff that I don't know if you can control the way that thing falls. I don't know.
Sure you can.
But Terry would like to volunteer to take it down.
He's got a cutting torch.
I'm quiet over there.
Tower demolition expert over here.
He's awful quiet. So
Terry's awful. Yeah.
It didn't go exactly the way I thought last time. So I'm not
something you never want to hear your surgeon say, right? Well, it didn't go exactly the way I planned. You only really need one ear, right?
Yeah. Man, I don't know how tall it is, but I know Mark mentioned the fact that the last time they ran that cable up there, we thought it was always a 450 or something, and they had to go 480 feet with that tower, you know, because it was taller than what they thought. So.
It's up there, but it is, you know, gosh, the way they put that park right there by it.
Yep.
I don't know.
That's an issue.
There was a discussion last night with some of the local fire, Wymore and Blue Springs. I brought up the deal with Beatrice talking about doing a repeater. And
come up here on the record, please. Everybody sits so far back. If you'd sit closer, you wouldn't have to sit right there. Lenhart comes up, see? That's how it works.
Well, yesterday we were at the National Night Out, and we were talking to a few of the volunteer fire departments, and they were concerned about their coverage. And I brought up the thought when discussing with Beatrice Communications that they're going to move the repeater to another tower or something. I don't know exactly sure which one when it is or what their plan is with that, but they thought, I've seen a map actually, that they could reach Blue Springs and Wymore with mobiles. There are question marks with portables. Then some of the volunteer fire department guys said, well, what about Liberty and Barniston, because their repeater is on that Blue Springs tower, and so that's going to be an issue that we might have to come up with. I don't know if that's been thought of or what.
Well, there's just that ongoing discussion. Again, we're waiting for that feedback from those guys to give us, say, well, this is where we think things need to be. And I think we fully need to be expected to be shuffling some stuff around.
And I think we discussed about two other towers that were around town, too.
Right. And also, I don't know if it's the primary repeater for Odell and Philly, but both of those do utilize that to some extent. And those would have to be served, too.
Yeah, Doug is aware of the different cell sites that we have agreements with that with space on them, right? Mm-hmm. I would assume.
I assume so.
We should have. The one south of Wymore, they're 6 miles south. We're just right. That one we do have an agreement with. The one over north of Virginia, that we have an agreement with that. We also have an agreement with the NRD to put it up on the rural water, that
right, that's right, we do.
Their tank there. If
which one in Wymore?
Right east of Wymore, the NRD has the new
water tower.
Okay, and you said a tower. There's another tower in Wymore also?
Out by
the first one? Or is it you're stuck
on
the
other
one?
No, the other one's over by Virginia, what I was talking about. Okay. That might be able to cover some of that to the south.
Yeah. There's the cell tower that's out south of Wymore.
South of Wymore, they're about six miles. Yeah. There was just a new one that went up here in the last year or two that we approved. And part of that agreement was that we
public safety.
We could
head free safety.
Yeah. Have space on that tower.
Mm-hmm. That's always wise anymore because they're like a lot of lease money.
Yeah. How about the other two towers? The one right west of Wymore, and then there's one east of Wymore, about a mile.
Seeing that, I don't know that.
They were.
That's what he was asking. One west, right as you come into this town.
Right across from like Christ Community Church. And
who has those? You know whose they are? Are they a Sal one?
I think one's possibly Verizon and one's US Cellular.
Mark was really good about if there was a tower going up to make that sure that was part of the agreement to have a space on there.
We did. Since we've been on the board, we've been really good at making sure that that happens, but I don't know prior to that if it was always the case that was done.
Yeah, I don't know for sure if there's room on those, but
if they continue to come up and talk to you about putting towers up in the county, just make sure that you pay attention to small words, because I mean, sure, you know, attorney looks at it, but I've been trying to limit height or whatever they'll say to a certain feet, and then if you have to go over it, then you still have to pay for the lease or whatever. They're finding out ways to counter that with just, you know, you say, well, you know, allow public safety on, you know, on the tower. Well, they might have a certain level where they allow that. And
okay. So still communication stuff will come up down there. Okay.
Now and then.
What's that?
Now and then.
Now and then, yeah. Anything else for law enforcement, emergency management?
No.
Gosh, you got enough bullets?
Don't ask.
I'll run short just from the budget. I'm sure Myron's seen it. We're
going to
work quite a bit.
22s are cheaper than 45, right?
Yeah. You have to shoot more of them, though. That's a problem.
Guess I was telling her when we went through the budget, I was telling them the other day, I saw this on Facebook. There was a sign up that said, due to the shortage of bullets, there will be no warning shots fired. So we just need that sign. It will save ammunition.
Yeah. Okay. Road and Bridge, Terry.
Okay. Constructors will start milling on east of Wymore Liberty the middle of this week, and possibly overlaying being done, moved out. I think 77 has probably a half mile shouldering left plus all the intersections, and it will be completed up to south of Beatrice there. So I think their plan is to move after that portion's done and go on to the Wymore Liberty Road and start on that phase. So that we should see some activity down there, weather permitting, you know.
And that hasn't had any lift or anything. That's just been milled. The Liberty's just been milled.
The first time they got in there, they did put the first lift coat on that to cover over what they milled. And there is going to have to be some passion down on that, because as they drove all their trucks over to hauling for the milling that they're doing now, there is some tear starting to go in that. And they're aware of that they are liable for that for any damage that is done with their truck. So on that. But part of that has a mile east of the Barnston corner back into Wymore. That has been covered with the correction layer on that segment of the first go-around of milling.
Finished paint striping on the armor-coated roads last Wednesday, July 30th. One more culvert was delivered on the Wymore Liberty Road. I think there's one left, Galen said. Galen did have a pre-construction meeting on August 5th for the 2 miles on South 66, and he received a agenda that they had brought out, and I'll just go through these real quickly. Mobilization will start on September 8th. Subgrade prep on September 10th, and then the concrete pavement September 30th. Drivers at intersections, October 9th, and pavement marking, October 16th. So it's fairly detailed. It looks like once they get started, they'll move right along with that segment of the bond that we passed. Of course, we've had continual discussion on bridges. In fact, Galen had to close one bridge over the weekend on North 36 Elm Township because of some broken stringers. Continually to look at those wood structures as far as replacement, because there are some a lot of those out there yet. That I mean, we keep talking culverts, you know, almost every month, but there's and replacement, but there's just a lot of that type of work that is left to be done. Denny and I had a meeting this last week with, I guess, a few of the city officials concerning the biodiesel plant. Their concern is that when that biodiesel plant opens up, and I think there's some construction going to take place here shortly on that biodiesel plant here in town, is that they understood that there's going to be approximately 60 trucks a day in and out of there when that plant opens up. With that being said, you know, the normal access would be right through town, and they're wondering how that traffic's going to be routed to there. Oh, how do I say it? Anyway, they're asking about that unimproved township road going north from the biodiesel plant connecting up with the Hickory Road north of there. Be about a 2.5 mile stretch. I talked to Galen about it a little bit. He said there have been some preliminary work done on that road construction. With that being said, he said very high cost because there's bridges, elevations are going to have to be. So it's just something we talked about, and that's it. And frankly, what I told him is, you know, with the projects the county has going, I don't see how in the world, you know. I mean, it's well down the road. But their concern is the traffic that's going to be coming through the industrial park, semi-traffic. You know, there's access, I guess, could come down that long county road from the north there. You know, it's a county road. You could come from the south by the historical part through there, but I doubt if that's rated. Couldn't come that way. So you got two accesses to go there, right here north of the mall, you know, right basically downtown, or down the county road, you know, come back down that river road, I guess you'd call it. Anyway, so that's just talk. You know, what could happen down the road.
Yeah, some of what brought that up, I believe, was 5 or 6 years ago. That was when I was on the city council. There was kind of an agreement between the county and the city and GCED at the time as to if these facilities were built down there and came into play, that 72nd Road. I can't remember the road, but it was actually
32nd.
32nd, there you go. Yeah, and right. It was looking at to be to go ahead and hardtop that coming into there, because you'd have the crushing plant on one side plus the the beam plant. Mm-hmm. So that's, I imagine that's where some of that discussion
that's
is coming from.
Probably where that started, and the county did do some preliminary work on it, but that's was all put on hold back there when the facility went under.
And now their plans are not to crush anything there; they're going to haul, you know,
yeah, the thing,
vegetable
that,
oil and
right.
And,
I think the thing that's changed is before they were looking at bringing bean oil possibly in on the rail.
Yeah.
Where now they're looking at hauling in,
hauling
a different sort of feedstock, and they'll have to bring that in on semi truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it'll be less traffic than before by quite a ways, but I mean it'll still be significant traffic, but it's still going to basically serve one entity.
Right. Right.
And last, of course, Galen's been working on the budget down at the county. the big part of the county's responsibility, maintenance, road maintenance. So we're working on that. And that's about it, I think.
Yeah, and we'll discuss more of that here as we go through the budget. We did Galen and Mark Minnelli was here too Monday too, and that helped too. And we did have probably on a half hour to hour discussion on it was more than a half an hour ago because we went past 9 o'clock even and stuff. We had them stay around and we had a discussion on their budget and everything. So and see where we come up with here on that stuff. So a lot of projects again, and a lot of them we're still doing from, I guess, the bond and the past year. So very, very, very busy time again for the highway department. So
basically most of that, you know, you talk about the bond, you know, the what was passed, you know, as we just seen, you know, the first October, I think everything should be pretty well finished up, you know, the way I see it.
Correct me
if I'm wrong. Okay.
The laying and everything, with some shoulder work
of course,
the next few
of course.
Years.
Yeah, that'll take a while. Yep.
The money will all be spent by then.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Then just say it, Terry. Okay. Nothing else for committee reports. We'll go right into the next item we have would be approve or disapprove a sub-grant agreement with Gage County and the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Division of Children and Family Services Child Support Enforcement to account for the work of the clerk of the district court as it relates to child support enforcement effective on October 1st, 2014 until September 30th, 2015. So I need a motion to approve or disapprove the subgrant agreement.
Move to approve.
What's that?
Move to approve by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Roger, what do you?
Yeah, this is basically an agreement with the Gates County District Court and HHS where we get a reimbursement. And Diane does a real good job keeping track of those costs. So we do get a reimbursement. I think it runs in the neighborhood of $48,000 to $50,000 a year, as I recall. Don't hold me to that number.
In.
But again, through her diligence and keeping those records, we get something back. So I would recommend it's a similar contract to what you had in the past. I would recommend you approve.
A motion to second. Any further questions or discussion?
Is this a 1 year?
It goes from, ends October. It's got an end date in it.
Yep.
September 30th of next year.
Oh, sorry. Yep.
Vote 6-0 to approve. Oh, Kathy's calling. I'm sorry. Counting the green dots there. Should count people, not green dots, right?
Yeah. Okay.
5-0 to approve. Kathy and Denny are gone. Okay. Next, to approve or disapprove a subgrant agreement with Gage County.
Same thing, only it's with the attorney.
And, okay, I was going to say, did this just get duplicated? I'll finish reading. Gage County and the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Child Support Enforcement Program to account for the work of the Gage County Attorney, of the County Attorney Offices as it relates to child support enforcement effective October 1st, 2014. Until September 30th, 2015. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Darren's just sitting there smiling.
I'll wake him up pretty soon.
We can outweigh him.
Okay.
All right, any discussion? Roger, is this?
It's basically an agreement with Mr. Kravitz's office, and I would just note for the record that they do a very good job with this program and comply with the state and federal requirements so that everything's done according to what it has to be under the contract. And I would, again, recommend that you approve it. It's similar to what you had in the past.
Any further discussion? None vote. 5-0 to approve. Next will be a discussion of the county budget. It's just our first discussion here to kind of go through that. And I guess, Myron, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Okay. Did everybody get the packet that Don had?
I don't know. Did we, Don? Did we get that packet?
Not everybody.
We haven't got much today.
We were just going to discuss. It's not final, so.
So we don't.
I'm guessing not. You're over, Myron. Turn your over.
We had, after our committee meetings the other day, we had.
Well, that side of the room's got it.
Terry. Terry and.
We have it too.
Denny and I were here for meeting. This is the one that went to 1:30. We started at 10, I don't know, 10 or closer to 2.
Okay.
Most
just saying.
I guess you want a short version or long version. Yeah. No. Decent.
Well, this is our first because we're going to come back a couple times, so this is kind of your first blush at it. So
most of the county departments, assessors, treasurers, most of those put in just for what would be a wage increase. Some of them had some little line items maybe increased if they had a computer or something. The one department that put in a little bit greater amount was, and we've talked to them, had discussions with them in the past, is the county judge's office up there, and they put in $13,800 for new desk or whatever. They put an increase in $13,800. They've had $1,200 in there always, and it amounts to $15,000 for equipment. I visited with them in the past about it. Rogers got a guy coming, or supposed to be giving a quote on the desk. They did it there too. Visited with Roger, told him we'd probably take his out of inheritance, but the county judge, they put a line item. They put theirs in a line item for their desk, maybe. So that's an increase there. So that's just so you're aware of that. Some of the bigger ones that we have are the buildings and ground. And one of the things that we talked about in buildings and ground, last year we had $122,000 for jail, a line in there for jail building repair. And we've had a discussion several times in the last year that was set up for the fire marshal proposals and what needed to be done in that aspect. And that... do we still need that line in there? One of the proposals coming forward is that we leave $50,000 in that line because we don't know yet. Fire marshal's coming down again. What will come up? But to move the balance of that, or $72,000 or $73,000, over to general maintenance line in buildings and ground. It's still going to be in the whole budget, but we're going to move it to a different line so that, I guess, we haven't used that much. At one year, we went $117,000, but last year we didn't. I'd have to look up here. We didn't use very much out of that line. So we still, committee meeting and visit with Gus last year, he did too, about what if the air conditioner goes out, and that's had some issues a little bit here and there. So, I mean, that's... proposal, so that's what was discussed.
You would lose the ability to track it if you just throw it into everywhere else. And I know that was part of when we set that up too, is to be able to track that expense over a period of time to say, this is what we're putting in there.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's in the building and grounds budget wherever you put it. The line item just allows you to track it.
Yeah. And there is Gus is still the line in there for other building repair, sheriff. And that's. These three lines are all in a row, and that's still left in there at $22,000. Sheriff's budget. One of the things we talked about, and Don brought this up, Gus's budget, it's a little bit harder. When he proposes some increase, and he did this year in ammo and then some vehicles, it really distorts how it looks like his budget increase is, because 78% of Gus's budget last year was for salaries and overtime. And I know the other day we didn't include overtime when we came up with that figure, but I included overtime in it. 78% of his budget spent last year was for salary and overtime. So a good share of his budget is personnel expense or whatever. But Gus did propose, and this one I don't know, we had a question for Gus on this, $7,700 for the website. Last year you didn't have anything in there. Previous years you spent about $3,500 to $4,500 on it, but this year you're proposing $7,700. Last year you didn't have anything in there. So.
$3,500 was the cost, the startup cost of the Federal Watch Program. And they've changed things now to where you can go through State Patrol's portal and get a lot of that. So I canceled that program. And what we're doing is we're going to update it's been 7-8 years, I want to update the website. At the time I'd done this, the initial proposal I had was around $7,000, have that done. Since then, I've contacted me local in town. I think we can do it for a lot less than that. And then it's just a small ongoing fee after that. So $2,400, I think you listed on there, was probably for this company that was going to do it. Okay. Means I stayed local, I think we're going to save a lot on that one if it works out.
Good. Then, and I will say this, we haven't sat down and visited with Gus on the budget yet either. So some of these, I mean, we're just going over with what we reviewed. Gus did increase the supply line, which is called ammo and flashlight for whatever reason, but the supply line, he did increase it from $26,000 to $56,000 in his budget proposal, for new radar units and ammo expense.
Ammo, probably handguns, were probably about 3 to 4 years over the life
or more.
Well, I expect to see, they're supposed to say rotate them out every 10 years, and we just keep putting it off. So it's in there.
It's in there. I want people to understand again, this is a budget proposal. This is what was proposed. He also did the vehicle purchase line. Last year we had $23,000 in that this year, and he visited with our committee one time about the group of, he has three individuals from the county that once a year they'll go over. He has a committee that they inspect the vehicles and make recommendations on what to do with those, and they proposed that we should get three new ones, and he included a good part of that in this budget. He went from $23,000 to $117,000 on that. Reason I mentioned the personnel cost earlier, Gus's budget then, what he proposed, went up 116%, or went up 16%. I shouldn't say not 116%, and a good part of that is because not that much of Gus's budget is outside of personnel costs. So when he has an increase for some of these, or proposed increase for some of these, it really distorts it. It distorts the percentage or whatever. So we did have discussions as a committee about where we felt this budget should be at, maybe, or whatever, and what amount of increase. We have not come up with anything. We're going to meet here again after this meeting to have some more discussions. We wanted time to review some of these, too, because we hadn't seen it that much. So, but I'm just going over some of these lines so that you guys are aware of what some of them were and what we're looking at. Jail. As you remember, if you remember, we added $85,000 during the fiscal year to this budget for housing of prisoners. Jail budget, again here, two big items. One is personnel. Last year, 52% was the amount of personnel cost. That includes salary and wages of the actual spent amount, not of our budget, because our budget did, we spent more than what our budget was or whatever. The other one is boarding of prisoners or whatever. 3 years ago, we spent $80,000. 2 years ago, $82,000. This last year, $136,000 or $137,000. Right now in the budget, they proposed $100,000. Unfortunately, we've talked so many times about that, it's like beating a dead horse. Don't know what else to say about it, though. It's just $100,000. That could be close. We don't know. We sure hope we don't have one like last year, like that said, that 2 years before that was around $80,000. It's unfortunate, but it's part of what we have. Did include in here under the equipment line, they went from $3,200 to $13,200, and that is for a cell, CELL, the cell for that van for transporting of prisoners. Also did laundry. The laundry went from $1,600 to $11,600, I believe, proposing to buy commercial washer and dryers. And I guess we had a questionable visit with Gus later on that. We thought we just bought a washer or dryer or something. So, but because of increased, and a couple other increases here, because of the increased population of prisoners we have here and other places, the increase in medical by $10,000 for the prisoners. They increased food services by $15,000 just because we're always full. And jail supply, those are two increases related to the amount of population we have. Jail supplies, the increase from $4,000 to $35,000. And this is a good part because of the life lock, or part of this is because of the life lock over there and the cost of that. And then also for two radios. If their proposed budget increase would be 8.5% over actual expenses last year, not over the budget from last year, but over the actual expense, because we did include the $85,000 in there. Again, those were their proposals. We last year, I know we came back to Gus, and we came back with a dollar amount and said, Gus, this is your budget. Now you come back to us and tell us where we're going. So we did have some discussions along that line. We have not come up with any set amount or anything. So, but like I said, we're meeting as a committee here again and starting to. We just went over this Monday after committee meeting, so we haven't had time to digest a lot of these too. That's why we're looking at these, and these are some of the things we're looking at. Emergency management, and since Tim's here, I'll bring it up. And maybe because of the tower down there, maybe not moving the equipment, but we had emergency equipment repair for sirens and other things. We've had $30,000 in the budget for 3-4 years, and we've spent usually around $11,000 to $15,000. We suggest putting that to $15,000, but we don't know though now the cost of moving that stuff off that Wymore Blue Springs tower. So, don't know. That was just a thought. Miscellaneous general. One of the things is when you look at the miscellaneous general line, last year we had $295,000 for general liability insurance, and that was because of the way the bookkeeping had been done, and we had to catch up a year because it fell a month after the fiscal year. So that actually went from $295,000 down to $150,000 because of, that's more of a bookkeeping thing. We caught up last year. We were behind a month, and that put us behind a year. Legal fees, outside attorneys. We budgeted $200,000 for the last several years. Hadn't gone over it, I don't think. I know the 1 year we only spent, I can't remember exactly. Last year, though, we spent $428,000. Not all of that, but a good, some of that was attributed to so-called Beatrice 6 because of our trial and stuff. Proposing this year to put that at $400,000, just due to the fact that there's a real good likelihood that what we hear, what they tell us, is that there will be or the possibility of another trial this year. This is one, this is coming from me again. I don't know if we want to put it way up to $400,000 or not, because as we visited the other day in the committee meeting, a lot of the prep work for the trial has been done, the previous one, but they still have to review it and everything. Don't know. This one, this is another one, just like the boarding of the prisoners, that you don't know what the cost is going to be, and there are certain things that affect it greatly. Road and bridge. Last year we
budgeted. You're on a roll. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. That ain't good. Last year we budgeted $4,515,000. We spent $4,181,000 on that. In this packet that you see here, under the proposal, there's only in there an increase for basically wages and salary, and that of 3%. Because when we put this together, Don put this together, we didn't know, we hadn't had it back from Galen since then. We have another sheet with a budget proposal back from Galen, so all of that. So that has not been entered into there. So that this package you have, it only shows a 3% increase for wages, and we left everything else, we left the dollar amount the same. We just, Don kept asking, what should we do? And I said, let's go that way, and then we'll change it as we go along.
Myron, can I intervene here just a little bit?
Yep.
Where we've come in down there, for an estimate this year, last year budget expense was $4,515,000. This year, Galen's come up with $5,189,000.
But no, take $150,000 off of there, because that's the bond transfer that has to be in there.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually $4,995,000.
That's in there yet. Okay.
Yeah. There's $150,000 bond in and out that has to be included in
right.
it.
Right. For the report, it has to show from the
right.
Yep,
that
the highway bond.
Is that highway,
yeah.
Is that
okay.
bond.
I see that figure right here.
Mm-hmm. So it's $4,995,000.
Yeah. With that being said, I'll bring up, you know, there's been three pieces of equipment that we've hung on to down there. And They're getting fairly expensive to run. They're aged. And these are all big ticket items. We've held off the last 2 years. We're looking at the big track hoe, the track loader, and the rubber-tired hoe. These are all pieces of equipment that you get used daily with the culvert replacement, small culvert replacement, cleaning up everything, and then two vehicles. And with that being said, a guesstimate, and we hope we're high, Galen's come up with approximately $595,000 for those three piece equipment, or actually five pieces, two vehicles, crew vehicles, to get in and out of the where the work's being done. So a large chunk of that is there, and the other there's a line in here. It's on concrete, I believe.
Yep.
And the actual expense last year on that was $757. We had budgeted $75,000. This year, the official estimate from Galen is $270,000. Now, with that being said, that would be there's a bridge right north of Ellis, and that's familiar with it, that Galen has pegged in there for replacement. A big chunk of that $270,000 is going to be that bridge. It's a narrow bridge at best, you know, and very rough. I mean, we've had numerous complaints about that one. So, and then also, what was the? It was a deck slab. Where was that deck slab on that?
That's for the present bridge that we're building right now down in Island.
Yes. Hill, okay.
And for the future bridge south of Wymore.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's going to see a large increase in that line, but that's the reasoning behind it. There's two big concrete projects hopefully go on next year and next budget year. So,
one other one, though, too, that it decreased in there. Well, last year we had $270,000 in armor coating. We did spend that, and then we also spent some out of the bond fund on armor coating. Because of all that we did this year, there's nothing in the armor coat budget, but there is $45,000 included in the fact that we have to paint those 45 miles of road and stuff. So that's included in the budget. One other one quick was engineering. Mark Manelli, basically, their firm, last year we budgeted $60,000. The two years before that, we'd spent close to $170,000 and $180,000. This year, Galen put that budget at $180,000. We did talk about that a little bit, even when Mark was here with him. And I said I thought about maybe we didn't need to have it that high. And then with this claim period here, we just had a $38,000 bill come in already. So I said, no, it's probably going to be there again. And if we do the projects that are part of the projects or some of them, and including Hickory Road, if we do all those that we hope to get done again in the next year, and it's pretty aggressive, but if you do, that engineering will be up there pushing that $180,000 again. So,
and with that being said, all the culvert replacements that we do, there has to be a study on that by an engineer's office to find out the runoff, the size of the tubes. It's, I can't say it's a sizable amount, but it's an expense that's there every time you replace a culvert, bridge, whatever you have. That has to be sized up by that office. So.
And the other big thing always is in the road and bridge fund is the amount of rock and gravel and asphaltic materials and township rock and gravel in there. I think Terry came up with a figure that 14% of the asking that we do for this county. Is that right? It's 14% of something. Right, I think so.
Of this budget right here, of the road and bridge department.
No, it's more than that. It's more than that.
Authority that we have.
That was it.
It's roughly just 1.4 million in rock, gravel, and asphaltic materials. So if you look, that's about 6.5 cents worth of levies. So out of the 45 cents, it's about 14%.
14% of the levy authority. That's what we come up with. 14% of the levy authority. And that's just so that, you know, we the amount of phone calls we get, more than half of them are about roads. But I think sometimes people don't also realize the amount of money that it takes to, I guess,
keep this county in decent shape with rock and gravel and stuff. There is a good amount of our budget that goes to the rock and the gravel, but we do, when it's not there, we do get phone calls and we do get to hear about it and stuff. So, I mean, that the other one we get phone calls on always is the sheriff. No.
And Myron, with that being said, you know, we've been fairly lucky this winter, spring, fairly decent weather, you know, roads pretty good condition, but the material cost, rock, gravel, has continued to escalate, you know, at a fairly fast pace. Yeah. So it's just an expense that's there. I don't know how else to fix it.
Yeah, Galen did include about a 5% increase, I guess, in from last year's budget on those, and basically that's what the increase is at the pits, you know, or whatever. So, I mean, that's...
You picked on Gus a little bit, but just to illustrate, we spend twice as much money, we budget twice as much money a year in rock and gravel and asphaltic materials than what he runs the jail with.
Yes.
The jail budget's about $700,000. And we budget about $1.5 million.
And our guy and the guys over there just throw it at the jail.
Right? Yeah. And then they go drive around the county and get rocks and throw it at the jail windows. Yeah.
Get smaller rock.
Get smaller rock. Here again. This I want to emphasize, these are the budget proposals, and we started discussing about those. And last year, I know with Galen and for Mark and everything, we came up with a dollar amount and said, this is what we as a county, with an increase that is comfortable or that fits the budget, or fits our tax asking first off. But then Don came up with some numbers that, you know, we're looking at maybe a 1.36% increase, but then that's nothing set in stone. We're looking, you know, what if we end up tax asking, we do a 1.5 or a 1.8 or a 2. The lid limits us to 2.5% increase. But I know one time during this past year, and this is a rough figure, our salary and wages in OSHA and retirement just for the employees, if we do a 3% for the county, that is somewhere around $135,000 to $140,000. So that doesn't account any of the other things in the budget that you expense or whatever. So I mean, when you look at an increase or no increase or whatever you look at setting this budget at, we will have approximately, you know, I don't know, I don't have the exact number. I come up with $135,000 to $140,000 increase in salary, wages, retirement, and that stuff for this next year. So, but that's what we've done the past few years too. So that's not anything new. It's just part of the budget. So the one thing we have left to do yet on here too, and Galen did include, and we thank him for this on here, is the Hickory Road project. And I think we need to talk about that a little bit again. Mark has done a lot of engineering on that. I think we keep talking about the fact that, you know, two segments, the west segment and the east segment. We did budget again for the deck slab bridge. That's the bridge, deck slab bridge and the steel for that. And that's the one east of the Blue River Bridge. We did budget some for the right-of-way purchase, the railroad crossing, which we do have an estimate from now. We do not have an estimate yet from Norris for utilities. They have pretty much, Mark and them have given the plans for that and the drawings to them, so we're waiting back for that. But also two box culverts, and then he budgeted some engineering too for that. I do know that they met out here in the last couple weeks with property owners out there that have the drip irrigation system, because that is now another curveball thrown into this, that can you move it? What's the cost? And if we don't move it, how can we design the road? Because it's different than a flood irrigation or something. They're trying to get a good handle on the cost of moving it or what they need to do to it, because it, just on the other side of the railroad track, that's where both sides of the road have drip irrigation systems.
The way those underground irrigations, what it is, there's an inlet. 8-inch tile. Those 8-inch tiles parallel the road. So the movement we need is to widen a little bit those two inlets that feed all these artillery lines going underneath the ground out there have to be moved. I mean, this current plan, the way it is now.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, it's expensive to do that.
But just want people to know that we are diligently working on the Hickory Road, you know, but then sometimes it's two steps forwards and one backwards because you run into something that you hadn't planned on or whatever. But I do know they're working on purchasing right-of-way or easements or contacting those people and stuff. Funding for the Hickory Road and when that project will get started or done, you know, I mean, we talked as a committee. It would be great if we could, in this next year get the west end of that done, but we can't say we will or not. We don't know. We don't know what all coming up. I know Matt, I listened to you Thursday there on the radio and talked about that too, and this has been an ongoing project. But funding for the Hickory Road, at the end of our fiscal year, we had $955,000 in the road and bridge sinking. We had $2.361 million in inheritance. Inheritance before this last year averaged roughly $600,000 plus, just in that area. This last year was quite a year. It was $1.5 million, actually. We've always had a lot of discussion that between those two, hopefully we can take enough of the funding for the Hickory Road out that we don't have to do a tax asking or a bond or something. That's the goal. Don't know for sure that will happen. You know, depends on the cost. Depends on the timing of the project. And Denny didn't volunteer. He says he wasn't given his inheritance yet. So that's what he told us the other day. So
got Jurgens in the loop.
We got Jurgens. Yeah.
I'm close.
No, the inheritance you can't plan on either, but we've always discussed using part of that for Hickory Road. So.
Myron, while we're on that, we have got two payments left on this, on the last overlay project.
On the highway.
Don, could you explain that easier than I can probably?
Well, from what I calculated when I was doing the budget, when I collect, the bond was to take one highway allocation payment and make a payment toward the bond. Well, sometimes that payment is more than what the bond payment is. So there was some funds that I carried over. So with those funds and with the transfer of another payment, which was $150,000, it looks like I can pay off that bond by the end of this year.
Don, when is that payment made?
The last one.
Allocation payment.
Well, probably can do it by December of this year, the way it looks. Or, you know, right after that. I've got three bonds in my mind, so I'm not sure which one. I think the
I remember
December
you saying
payment.
That. I think that was the one. I didn't know the time frame. But, I mean, there's some money that could be freed up for that project also is what I was getting at. So
That was a discussion that we'd had some time ago. Is we use a significant portion of inheritance, use some sinking fund dollars, use a portion of gas tax allocation, and you may have to do a small internal bond or something that you would do internally, but you'd stretch that out for so long it would be minuscule. So you go four different places to put that, or you just put it on the general obligation, but it would be small enough it would be part of the regular budget.
No.
And not just completely dilute or exhaust one particular resource because it is a big project, and spread that out so no one feels a burden.
The goal has been, or during our conversations, that we wouldn't have to tax the people very more, that we would have this money available to do it. You know, if it gets stretched out, I'm not saying it's going to get finished next year. Hopefully we get started and, you know, goes into the next fiscal year. You know, hopefully we won't have to increase any kind of a tax. I think it could be available there if we plan it out. So
I'll make one last comment, and then I'll shut up for a while. There again, these are the proposed budgets. If we did everything that's proposed here, this will not fall underneath our lid.
Right,
our 2.5% lid.
Based on the capital improvements that I'm using right now.
Yeah, based on the capital improvements we're using right now. So that these proposals, you know, that's something we'll look at, we'll visit with the department heads, and we'll try to come up with some workable and doable budgets. These are not any budgets that are set in stone yet by any means. Like I said, we're having another committee meeting here right afterwards for our finance again, and
hopefully start whittling this down or taking input or...
First round of the Christmas list or the wish list. That's kind of how that works.
That's kind of how it works.
Sharpen the pencil and...
Well, after 3 hours, we didn't think your minds were nothing much, so
But Myron, so we'll come back and we'll have, the open session discussion on the 20th.
Yep.
And the public hearing will be on the 3rd. And we'll take formal action on the 17th. So we'll have a public hearing on the 3rd, and that's really, if there's going to be any changes or anything, that's when it's got to be, because we've got to approve it on the 17th, because it's got to be into the state by the 20th. Yes. So just, that's kind of the timeline, so... Couple more shots here.
Okay.
What else?
Well, I forgot. I think the one, I don't know if I mentioned about the insurance fund, though. I did earlier. I mentioned that during insurance, that the proposed increase there because of some possible unknown risk exposure again. So.
Anything else?
We need to have a closed session yet for some personnel discussion.
We do emergency one because I don't have it on.
Yeah, you can.
You're using all up today. Huh?
I got one question.
I
have to address you.
Okay. You have to do it this time.
Retirement.
Can we wait?
That is. Well,
whatever, Roger.
Or not?
Can we wait? I'd like to wait if we can wait. No, I mean, it's not on here.
Emergency? Have the right to call.
Did you get something to cover you?
I got an email, but there's some discussion.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, they basically said you can wait on the claim, and you're covered.
Okay.
They can bring their deal. Yeah, you won't have to do that.
So we'll come.
Yeah, I can find that. Get something to cover the county.
Don't land hard. I think we're kind of there, but no, come on, absolutely. But come up here. I want you on the record. You have a nice recorded voice, so we want you on the record.
Okay. Well, Lenhart Fritzen, 29813 South 120th Road. I got one question. How much sand, Galen, maybe you can answer that. How much sand are they allowed in the gravel when they put on the roads? How is that done?
They go off the state specification.
Quite a little sand in them gravels.
I did have them all tested this spring from all the gravel pits that we fall out of, and I did have them test done on another one, a repeat test done always midsummer on that. So we do check it to make sure that it does meet the guidelines in the state
specification. Have you guys thought about, in the wintertime or whenever, importing some good gravel? It'll come when they all run out, and railroading it in and stockpiling it for the use the next summer. Have you guys thought about that?
We've had the discussion.
The cost on it, I mean, of railroading it in, good gravel. See, these pits is running out, you know.
That came up a couple of years ago when Rex was on the board, because you know, railroad guy, and they were talking about somewhere, was it Ashland or somewhere
Ashland
up north?
Ashland.
But then you haul it, you're basically paying for it twice, because then you dump it on the ground, you got to pick it up and haul it again. So it does increase the cost, and I think at that point we just didn't even really pursue it. And then what yard would you put it on and then have access to it and prevent people from... You got to fence it because people will take it. And
would it be cost prohibitive to have the trucks running in the wintertime, or would when gravel be available?
Well, we're basically
talking about
year-round.
Putting on the road, you mean?
Yeah, from farther out on good gravel.
Well, most of the time, Galen could speak better than I, winter is not the time to put gravel on the road.
No.
You have snow removal, everything else, it's going to end up in a greater ditch. So most of the time, your fall application or spring application is when you want to do it. Otherwise, you're going to waste a lot of gravel. That's going to be, and Galen, go ahead and address that more than me.
It'd be cost prohibitive to stockpile it in the winter, in other words.
Yes. Well, like you said, by the time you take and reload it on your trucks and then haul it, you have that additional cost on there. And number one, another thing we'd have is we don't have a chunk of ground to actually stockpile it on. That's something I run into a lot, because there's been a lot of times as far as We do a lot of farm site cleanups of concrete that we use for riprap that we do our maintenance work on bridges in the winter. And a lot of people want to get rid of that, you know, right away. And I don't have a place, number one, to stockpile it. And number two, then you'd have that additional cost. I know it's free, but then you'd have to pile it and then reload it there also. So it's just the cost is a big factor.
I was just wondering. I mean, gravel is going to run out, I guess, here sooner or later.
Well, we did take a gravel bid from a pit up by Ashland on our last gravel when we advertised for bids last time. And there is, they were higher than all our local pits, but there was one township, I believe, is Adams Township, that we're actually getting some gravel from because it was the cheapest out of that township. I believe it's Adams Township.
Is the quality better?
I haven't run a test on that. I mean, it meets the state guidelines, but I haven't been up to the pit myself to bring a sample down, since there was only one township that was low on the bid price.
Yeah, that's all I got. I just,
Leonard,
you see a lot of sand mixed in.
Leonard, one thing on the quality of the gravel, there was one instance that was out in Logan Township where one of the township officials brought Terry's six samples or something like that, and then Galen went out and took samples, and some of those claims were denied, and they replaced it. And if there's something that's absolutely, I mean, you know what's gravel and what's sand, and if you see it, let somebody know, because we want to see it.
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's enough, Gus, don't you think?
Yeah, you can go about lunchtime. We'll see you later.
All right. If there's nothing else for the Board of Supervisors, we will stand adjourned 11:05.